Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Revelation to St. John, the 7th chapter that you heard read earlier. Please be seated. Every year on November 1st, the Christian Church celebrates All Saints' Day. It's the day that we commemorate all the faithful departed, all those saints who have fallen asleep in Christ Jesus and have joined our Lord in the church triumphant. During our prayers of the church this morning, as I mentioned earlier, we will name each one of those saints from St. Timothy here who has passed on to glory. Now, to be sure, we do not worship saints. We do not pray to these saints, but we take comfort knowing that our loved ones have died in the true Christian faith. And we know that today they are at the throne of God. And also by God's grace, we pray that we may emulate their example of faith and their life. So we hear this word saint a lot. What is a saint? Well, it literally means dedicated to God, holy, sacred, set apart. So a saint is that person who is set apart and belongs to God. It is to be dedicated for God's purposes and his service. And this means that every Christian is a saint. Every Christian, dead or alive, is a saint. And it's not because the virtuous, holy life that they live or have lived, but it's all on account of the virtuous life and death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is imputed to sinners like you and me by means of baptismal waters. More on baptism in a little while. It has been frequently said that everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Death is a difficult subject. My November newsletter was on death, not because of the COVID, it's just All Saints Day, it seemed like a good idea to bring up the subject. But people don't want to talk about death because it conjures up all those horrible feelings and emotions, painful feelings that accompany death. And others don't want to talk about death because it's the fear, the unknown. When will I die? How is it going to happen? How will my family survive with my absence? Well, these are questions that the devil throws out there to trick you into directing your attention away from Christ Jesus onto your worldly affairs. There's much hidden about death and the life hereafter, but God in his rich love and mercy gave a revelation to St. John. And then by verbal inspiration, by the Holy Spirit, John wrote down an accurate account of this revelation to comfort Christians and to encourage you as you look forward to the victory celebration in heaven, that victory that belongs to you today for the sake of the Lamb of God, Christ Jesus. Now, if you've ever read through the book of Revelation, it's an emotional roller coaster. John uses metaphorical symbols and imagery to describe all the terrifying sufferings and horror on the earth. And at the same time, that same imagery to describe the beautiful wonder of heaven, the majestic reign of Christ exalted before the throne. But through this emotional tug of war, there is a common theme through Revelation. God's saints are encouraged to cling fast to Christ in faith. Look forward to living with him in the kingdom of heaven. John writes, "After this I looked, and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes, and all peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands." Everyone wants to go to heaven. But here's a spot where many people object. They say things like, well, gee, Pastor, is that all we're going to do is heaven, is stand before the throne with these palm branches and wave Jesus all day long in his service? That sounds pretty boring, doesn't it? Isn't there a golf course or a movie theater or some sort of activities to keep us busy? It is not a boring picture that John paints. As a matter of fact, it's a picture of a victory celebration. Have you ever rooted for a team who was on their way to the championship or eventually won the big game? Now, not you Bengals fans or you Browns fans, probably, but if you had a college or a high school team that you rooted on to victory in the big championship, you remember how exciting it was as you won that victory, and then years later, reliving play by play, event by event, with family and friends. It is a lifelong celebration of that big win. Well, heaven is the perfect and final victory celebration that you will ever attend. Because God the Father and the Lamb have won the victory over sin, death, and the grave. And this celebration is beyond all imagination. We have John's account of it, but we cannot comprehend its glory. It's beyond our imagination. It never gets old. The victory never tarnishes, and the memories don't fade. Because it's not a victory of one single season, but it's a victory for all of eternity. Now, when we think of our earthly games, those games are usually regional in a conference, and they involve a limited number of people who live in that area or used to live in that area. All these people in the same geographical area or conference, they speak the same team lingo, use the same cheers and all the other words that go along. But not so with the saints living in heaven. They're a great multitude, the entire body of Christians who have ever lived. And there's so many that it is impossible to count them all. Coming from all different ends of the earth, every nation, every tribe, every color, every language. And all of these multitudes, they cry out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. They celebrate this salvation not because of man's doing, but because salvation is God's gracious act of his will. The victory belongs to God and the Lamb, and it's given to his saints by grace alone through faith. And you can be absolutely certain and sure of his salvation because it rests on the promises in God's word. It is sealed in God's word. God knows that all who belong to him have this salvation, for he has saved them from their sins because Jesus is the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb who sacrificed himself on the altar of the cross. He has saved them from their enemies, for nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. He has saved them from the sting of death and the grave, and he has saved them into eternal life where on the last day, their dead perishable bodies will be resurrected from the grave and be reunited with their souls in heaven. Now, the exact timing of how all these pieces work and how it all fits together, we don't know. That too is beyond our comprehension. But what we do know is, St. John writes, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. it will be a glorious resurrection, a glorious celebration, seeing Jesus face to face as he is. And it won't be just us saints gathering before the throne, singing the heavenly chorus. As we sing in our communion liturgy every week, there will be angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, and we will all laud and magnify the name of our God. But yet, the good news, if that's not good news enough, we talk about all this glorious celebration in heaven, but we're suffering in tribulation in our daily lives. And the good news is God rescues his saints out of the great tribulation. And much can be said about this tribulation, but you probably don't want a two-hour sermon this morning. Many misleading doctrines and teachings on the tribulation and the end times have been concocted out of John's revelation. But do not be deceived. Christ's church has been living in the end times since Jesus' ascension into heaven. Because when you look at your life and your circumstances, you know what tribulation is. We all live in daily trials, sufferings, and tribulations. Every Christian suffers from tribulations. You suffer pain, the testing of your faith, and each one of these tribulations points forward to that great final tribulation at the very end. But for each of you, each and every particular moment of your suffering and your trials, for you, that is your great tribulation. And because of the sacrificial death and life of the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, God will rescue his saints from the great tribulation, rescue out of tribulation, and take you into his kingdom. But for you and I at this particular moment, we suffer in our great tribulation because of the sacrificial death of Jesus, who takes away the sins of the world. He rescues us, takes us into heaven, where John records they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. With sins forgiven for the sake of Christ, all God's saints are clothed in the robe of Christ's righteousness. The Lamb, and that Lamb presents the saints to the Father, the throne, and the multitude stand before the throne, pure and holy, in the presence of God, sharing in the victory celebration. Now, in the language in our text, it kind of sounds like the saints are the ones who wash their own robes. But since we know that salvation comes through grace alone, it's impossible for you or I to wash our own robe to scrub away the sin, scrub away all the stain, and achieve righteousness. Christian morality or Christian holiness is not a moral quality that you earn. Christian holiness is something that is received for the sake of Christ. The washing of the robe and making them white is God's work by his means of washing you in water and word in holy baptism. It's God alone who can turn your scarlet sins snow white. And being recipients of God's grace in holy baptism, as you abide in the Lamb, you receive more whitening every week as you receive Jesus in word and sacrament, continually washing your robe in the blood of the Lamb and in the Word. Again, it's not God, it's not your work. It is God's work alone. And that's what baptism is all about. God is making you a saint. God has set you apart to be his child. God making you his own and clothing you in the white robe of Christ's righteousness. So for you, brothers and sisters in Christ, our text this morning as a glorious picture of hope. Now, to be sure, there will continually be tribulations in this life. But Jesus still has proclaimed you as blessed. You are his blessed one. And you are most especially blessed when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You are especially blessed when others persecute you and accuse you of all kinds of things because of your faith in Christ Jesus. God never promised that life on this side of heaven would be a walk in the park or an easy ride. No, the Christian life is the way of the cross. God doesn't lead his people around suffering. He leads you through your sufferings. To be sure, there will be times when you'll be beaten down and exhausted, when it appears that the enemy is winning the battle. It may appear that the enemy is going to triumph, but no, Christ has already won the war. He has descended into hell to declare victory over sin, death, and the grave, all because of his perfect life, suffering, and death on the cross. In John's gospel account, he records Jesus saying, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world." You and I have been warned. You will face tribulation. So don't be surprised or anxious when those tribulations come into your life. Because in his great love, God has claimed you his beloved. He has called you blessed, his saint. And Jesus has already overcome the world on your behalf. John writes, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." A present tense reality. It is your possession right now, even in the midst of all of your suffering and your tribulations. You are God's blessed saints. And like those saints we remember this morning, the day will come when God will remove you from this veil of tears and your tribulation and deliver you into that great multitude standing before the throne in heaven that no one can number. And that's where paradise truly is. There, God, who sits on the throne, will shelter you with his presence. You shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike you, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be your shepherd, and he will guide you to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. As you await to join this heavenly host, the rest of the saints at this glorious celebration, keep calm. Remember your baptism. At the very close of John's revelation, Jesus says, "Surely I am coming soon." And to that we reply, "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen." The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.